Good morning. Grace and peace to you on this good Sunday morning. If you'll please join me with the call to worship. Every good and perfect gift, no doubt, comes from above, and God gives birth to the Word. We welcome the Word. Let us be doers, doers of the Word.
Let's pray. Loving God, open our hearts and minds to the scriptures that is read. Allow us to hear your message and to consciously be reminded of your mission for us for each of us. Breathe life into us to remind us of the constant presence of the Holy Spirit so that we may feel joy, thanksgiving, and your presence here today. Amen. So the Old Testament lesson this morning will be read from the Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair love, and come away, for now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
epistle reading comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Listen to the word of God. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of God's own purpose, God gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep one another unstained by the world.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, then 14 through 15, and finally 21 through 23. Again, listen to the word of God. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesies rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors you with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, wickedness, deceit, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The word of the Lord. Just the other morning, as I was preparing for this sermon, I came across yet another social media post meant to boost your interest and inspire your life to change with one single quote. No less found on a mini blue magnet shaped as a typewriter. Can you imagine? The quote said, "Books are mirrors of the soul," written by Virginia Woolf. Now, I'm sure Woolf never imagined her quote being on anything smaller than one of those heavy-duty typewriters, let alone on this teeny blue typewriter found on an iPhone, exposed to the entire world through this thing called social media. Nonetheless, my interpretation of that quote raises the question, what book mirrors your soul? What written words express your innermost self? Sometimes a writer's words more easily reflect who we are as people rather than our own words. Yet written words are not the only reflection of our souls in society. We have many others that reflect who we are. Let me quote another inspirational one-liner by Pablo Picasso. He said, "Who sees the human face correctly? The photographer, the mirror, or the painter?" The makeup company Estee Lauder would say, quote, "A mirror, of course, because a good mirror is the most important accessory in a woman's and maybe even a man's life." The unknown author of the Book of James would surprisingly agree with the makeup designer and say the mirror correctly reflects the human face, soul, character, and even our faith. And even more so, the author of James would agree with the second one-liner and surprisingly theological statement by yet again Estee Lauder, who said, "My idea of luxury is two mirrors, a hand mirror to see what you're doing and a magnifier mirror to see the flaws and then cover them up." Now you're probably wondering, why are we talking about mirrors and especially why compact makeup mirrors? James, not unlike Estee Lauder, writes something similar in our epistle reading today. James says, "When we look in the mirror, we see our own reflection of how we are living our life. Then when we walk away from our reflection, and we forget our appearance." James concludes, "It is the same as people who hear the word of God and then fail to act." In other words, one may hear the laws of the Bible and give little attention to how one lives out those laws. So another raised question: how are we living out or reflecting the gospel in our lives? James is a bit different from all the other epistles in the New Testament. The letter is often identified as an ethical exhortation or a how-to lesson so that we are called as readers to live a Christian life. James leans heavily on God and God's action in the world, and that every generous act of giving and every perfect gift comes from an unchanging God. As we read on in James 1, God births or gives the word to us, and by word, James means the gospel and the laws. Now, this word, which James explained, is an implanted word. And James says we are to welcome it. So what strange words. Welcome the implanted word? Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me a little uncomfortable. First, am I worthy to have such words implanted in me? I mean, come on, God, I am only human. So what does it mean? The Greek word emphuton, or implanted, means inborn, or given to us at birth. It can also mean innate, as if something naturally comes to us. Isn't it strange that we are to welcome something that is already naturally in us? We can't help what comes naturally, right? Yet some scholars believe the passive voice expresses God giving of good gifts, including the planting of the word within us. It is in God's planting that we are to welcome the word and take on the responsibility to respond with action. A theologian writes, this word would most naturally be understood as the preached word of the gospel, with both its promise of salvation and its ethical demand. James calls its readers to act consciously and ethically, to physically live out the gospel day by day. Yet James warns that far too often we are quick to listen to the word and worship and then slow to act. Now, worship is key as Reformed Christians, which might be why many reformers of the Christian faith tended to ignore and dislike James. Each day, we as Christians carry with us rituals of our religion. We worship, we pray, we study, we preach, we do the sacraments, we hear the implanted word. Yet, I'm wondering, after worship, can we respond with another ritual? Can we respond as doers of the word to God's divine initiative of the implanted word in our lives? I'm not saying get rid of the words we speak or the daily Christian rituals that require listening, but I'm wondering if we can add a ritual to our faithful Christian life. After we hear the gospel and worship our Lord, can we welcome and embrace the implanted word and become, as James says, doers of the word? Unfortunately, as I've learned, it's difficult to create new rituals in our busy lives. I quickly learned this hard lesson while serving as a PCUSA young adult volunteer in Lusaka, Zambia. During my time as a young adult volunteer, I also found myself in the midst of discernment. I felt a call to ministry and joined an online discussion group from Union Presbyterian Seminary to give me a taste of what seminary would be like. Each week, the group would be given a sort of spiritual practice. One week, we were asked to say a prayer each morning. Another week, it was to write down where we saw God that day. And let me tell you, each week, I failed miserably. I tried to pray each morning, but I was distracted by the little early bird students who arrived to wake me up by yelling into my window or playing tag outside my house. The next week, I sought to find God each day, but found it difficult when I saw the overwhelming poverty that engulfed a Zambian's life. Another week, we were asked to remember our baptism each time we touched water, like when we washed our hands, cleaned the dishes, or even watered the plants. Once again, I worked up the motivation to try and live out another spiritual practice for that week. However, I remembered the same water I was washing my hands, cleaning the dishes, washing my clothes, bucket bathing in was unsafe, unclean water, and gave many of my students belly aches. Not only that, but we lost water for about 3 to 4 days that week. And so once again, I carried guilt into the discussion group for not completing the weekly spiritual practice, but also not having the same reactions as my colleagues. I had tried and failed another spiritual practice that week, mostly because of the social and economic injustice of not just lacking in clean water, but lacking the presence of water in general. So strangely enough, here's some good news. If we add the ritual of being doers of the word, we have a chance to change some of the social injustices in our world, such as unsafe and unclean water, not only in developing nations, but even here in the U.S. We have a chance to live out a Christian life to end hunger, homelessness, and provide basic needs to people around us. James is often criticized for asking readers to seek perfection. But once again, here's the good news. When James says, become, key word, become doers of the word and not merely hearers, we learn that the word become implies an action of improvement. It is both present and imperative, therefore a continuous action, a process that might take time and must be lived out continuously in our lives. It is a word that suggests that we grow and mature in our Christian faith. It should not happen overnight, but established into a ritual as we grow into our own faith. No doubt, hearing comes first. It requires the discipline of studying, hearing the word of God, and knowing how to live out our faith, but also the discipline of acting after we hear. One theologian writes, once we have received the implanted word and have been renewed, directed, and empowered by it, we are expected to bloom and to respond as doers of the word. As an example of such doing, James pulls for the Hebrew text. Listen again to the final verse of James 1. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows and their distress. Biblically and traditionally speaking, the orphan and the widow are uplifted in the Old Testament as those who are mostly oppressed, but as God's direct concern. James follows tradition and mentions the orphans and the widows as representative of all who suffer from systems of poverty, oppression, and abuse. Essentially, James is writing, a genuine religion is caring for all those on the margins. And we have a chance to care for those who are deeply hurting the most in our society by welcoming the implanted word and then becoming doers of that word. And I have more good news for you. I've only been at this church for about 2 weeks, and Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church are doers of the word. I have seen the shelter. I have heard about Thursday Night Open Table. I've heard about the ESL classes, the relationship with Zambia and Zimbabwe. I've heard about the donations to food pantries and clothing closets. I've seen the different recovery groups housing in this church. And so, I have no doubt that this church is open to welcoming the word, the implanted word, in order to respond even more as doers of the word. No doubt you have a rich history of being doers and reaching out to the community around you. While doing some reading from a previous pastor of this church, I found yet another inspirational quote from a session meeting while Henry Sloan Coffin was pastor. The session note said, "The ideal which we have sought to keep steadily in view of a church whose message is in accord with the mind of Christ, whose fellowship is congenial to anyone who shares his faith and purpose, is whose house of prayer, rich and poor, meet together in Christian and sister brotherhood." There's a history in this church of reaching out to the neighborhood and sharing this space for all those in need because it is in accordance to your Christian faith. And so let us remember the key Greek grammar of the word become, a continuous action that goes on and on, but also an improving action so that we may create a new ritual of doing after we hear the word. Our faith should reflect our actions, and our actions should reflect our faith. As God was generous in God's giving, let us be generous in our doing by welcoming the implanted word. Amen. As God has been generous in God's giving, let us go out and be generous of our doing by embracing the implanted word. The Lord of Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen.